Senate's called to order. We are on Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1617. Senator from the 5th had the floor, was inquiring of the Senator from the 13th. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator?
Hi, Senator.
So, getting back to the business at hand, the amendment that I offered, that is an amendment that you would be willing to support, correct?
You know what? Yes, I'm trying to find your amendment here. Has it been distributed?
The amendment basically changed the phrase public employees.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I would be, Senator.
Okay.
Only because it narrows the field of people it would affect.
So approximately how many people you think will be impacted due as a result of this amendment?
Well, if you change it to state workers, there's tens of thousands of people it would not affect.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know, we've reduced the number of state employees over the last several years, and I do not know how many employees the state now has, but it would affect many of them. Most of them would be direct care workers in some of our mental hospitals. My HAB center, it would affect all the employees in my HAB center.
You know, it seemed like I've been here for approximately going on 8 years now, and it's a never-ending battle. Alec seems to come every year pushing, again, their right-wing agenda, and it seems to be spreading throughout the state like cancer. And I think that the only chemotherapy we have to kill this disease is to talk it to death. That's what I believe.
Well,
I don't think that one member of any union here in the state of Missouri came and testified in support of this backwards bill.
Well, Senator, when we heard it in the Senate chamber, nobody testified on behalf of it, according to my notes. And in the House, there was only three people. I asked a couple questions myself of the sponsor, and I was not in the committee hearing when it was heard in the House. So I'm going on hearsay, but...
I mean, what is wrong with Alec? I mean, why are they so afraid of the union movement? I mean, why are they looking to strengthen the union movement as we know? I mean, weaken the union movement as we know it. I mean, is it really that the union?
Well, because they're not. We're only 8% of the population, Senator. And when you do that, you make it large. You present a larger divide between the middle class and the haves and the have-nots. So it's not even about business. It's about big business and CEOs that drive this agenda.
This is one of Alec's top priorities throughout the states. Did you know that?
Say it again.
Alec.
Yeah.
This is one of their top priorities. Paycheck deception. I mean, protection.
That is a big surprise to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had that as much power and influence as they did, I'd be wanting to do great things with it, not just put my thumb down on working class Missourians, particularly women.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Senator, thank you very much for me to inquire of you.
I know it's your inquiry, but may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you only been here for 8 years?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Wow. You know, sometimes it feels like 80.
And again, I tell this story all the time. When I first got here, the senator, what is this guy here? Senator from the 11th district.
Yeah.
That guy, he was the minority leader at the time. And he and I, we just didn't get along at all.
I mean, oh, Senator, I'm well aware of that because I was the middleman in most of this discussion.
I had a really, really good relationship with the Republicans in the House, and I tried extremely hard to work across party lines. Bipartisanship is something that I pride myself on, trying to reach a bipartisan type movement.
Senator, you should pride yourself on the fact that you've been, you know, I have always said this, when we agree or we disagree, you and I, but you have always been very effective for the district you serve. And that's the whole point in us coming here. We are here to serve the people that elected us, and you have done a great job.
The senator from the 11th kicked me off budget.
Or we're not going back there again, are we? How many years has that been?
Yeah, he kicked me off budget because
I was there. I'm just asking you how long ago that was.
I don't hold grudges. No, make no mistake about it. You know, but I would never forget. I mean, that really hurt my feelings. At the time, I think the budget was like a $24 billion budget. And I voted to lift the campaign limits. I mean, that was probably one of the biggest mistakes since I've been in office. But I voted to lift the campaign limits. And as a result of that, you know, the senator from the 11th, he decided that he wanted to punish me and kick me off budget, and he did some other things that I don't want to discuss on the floor, and he said some things that I don't want to discuss on the floor, but I've gotten over that now, and hopefully he and I have been working on Medicaid expansion together, and we have come extremely closer as a result of that. You know, he filed a bill, Medicaid expansion bill. I filed the Medicaid expansion bill. And I am truly optimistic that even though we are the handlers of the Medicaid expansion, that the Republicans would see fit to do the right thing, if not this session, next session, but we're leaving $94 million on the table, which is truly unfortunate. While many of our citizens throughout the state of Missouri are struggling each and every day to stay healthy. But anyway, with that said, thank you for allowing for me to inquire of you. Mr. President, I have an amendment to the amendment.
Please send it forward.
And distributed, therefore I ask for I ask that it be read in.
It has been distributed?
Oh, I asked that
it's short and it may be read?
Very short, yes.
Please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1. Offered by Senator Nasheed. Amend Senate Amendment 1, Senate Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill Number 1617, page 1, section 105.504, line 13 of said page by striking the following, quote, public employee members of the labor organization or, end quote.
Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, this amendment limits the prohibition on dues and fees to use for political contributions only to non-member fees and dues. So with that, Mr. President, I would like to inquire the senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 5th moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire? Did you ask for an inquiry?
Yeah, I would like to inquire the senator from the 13th.
Does the senator from the 13th yield?
I do.
She does proceed.
Again, Senator, I look to you on many of the union issues. Would you be willing to support the amendment?
Well, I have some questions. It sounds like, since we haven't received the amendment yet, or maybe I have it here and just can't find it, but it sounds like your amendment limits the prohibition that the bill would impose to only the fees instead of the union dues. So they would still be able to take out union dues of members, but they would not be able to take out the fees that the...
For political purposes.
The fees that the non-union members pay. I need to see that amendment. Ah, that's the first one. So what you're saying is they can't take the money out for political purposes.
Right.
But they can still continue to take out the union dues.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't know if that's an amendment that you would be willing to support.
I don't know, Senator. I have to read that one, and I have to read it in context of the bill.
Okay.
I have to, I want to be very careful here because it's pretty cut and dry what this bill does, and I don't know. I want to be careful when we go to amending it. So I don't know. I'm probably, since it's your amendment, I probably would support it. I would like to inquire of somebody when you're finished, and maybe I could run it by the senator from the first, or if you're intending to, or...
No, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
I'll yield and have a seat, too. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator from the first, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senator from the 13th?
Does the senator from the 13th yield?
Mr. President, I'd sure like to inquire of somebody around here. But yes, I will yield.
She does. Reluctantly, it sounds like. But
I was going to say, thank you, Mr. President. I was actually going to go to the senator from the 5th, but then I saw her step away. So why don't I give you a minute, and let's see if there's somebody else who might be able to help me out with this amendment. Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from the 11th?
Does the senator from the 11th yield? He does. Proceed.
All right. So was this amendment distributed or just read? Do you have an understanding?
I think it was just read.
Okay.
I think I'm in the same category as the senator from the 13th. I'd like to see the amendment because I'm not sure what this does. Now, I know the underlying amendment is pretty clear. It says it doesn't affect, really, that this bill only affects state employee members of unions. And, Senator, I think the point of if we're worried about cost or worried about, I don't know, this bill's a made-up bill anyway, but I'm going to pretend like there's real reasons for it, that you're concerned about how you manage the state workers, then it should only apply to state workers. And we should allow municipalities, school districts, all those things to handle their employees the way they need to handle their employees. And if they want to be able to take union dues out, and by the way, it's not unions don't take dues out, by the way. Employers take union dues out. We shouldn't mandate that those municipalities do what we're requiring them to do. So I understand the purpose of the underlying amendment.
Let me just back up for a minute. I want to get to the underlying amendment and the amendment to the amendment. Maybe we'll get it distributed by the time I finish this particular line of questioning, but... I'll tell you, we've been here before. Last year, an override attempt failed in this body. Don't know whether it would have succeeded in the House, given the vote by which the paycheck bill passed out of the House. I wouldn't make any assumptions on what the House would do, but it certainly the margin by which it passed in the House would not have been sufficient to override a veto. And so what's really different here, there are some differences in the amendment would create some more differences, but what's really different here this year is the referendum clause, and I think that's probably going to be a major topic of conversation on this at some point, when and if we get there. But, I'm struck by something. late this morning, the House overrode the governor's veto on Senate Bill 509, which the Senate overrode last night, making it law. I'm sure you've heard that by now, right? And there was a Democratic House member who voted to override, and as I understand it, that individual is a labor union member. Are you of that understanding as well?
I don't know what he is.
Well, I'll just say.
The only thing I know about him is that he's a cage fighter.
That he's what?
He's a cage fighter?
Yes, he's that too. I'll just say I was a little surprised by the timing of this bill coming to the floor, not 5 minutes after a Democrat had put the tax cut over the top, much less a... I have some heartburn over that, and I just... For this to come to the floor that quickly after that development, I'm just... And I'm sure
it
may just
be... Well, I mean, what did you anticipate? Did you think the fact that, you know, where we... A major... priority of the majority was done, so why begin to pick on these public employees?
You know, you could suggest this is the thanks you get for, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But and it may just have been an ironic temporal juxtapositioning, but I nonetheless found it a little painful.
Right. This House member, is he a member of a public employee union, or do you know? Or
I don't believe so, and I don't want to focus on him. I found the timing very, very jarring in that regard. Well, let's get to the...
Well, I mean, don't you agree that maybe it would make sense if there's concern that it's terrible that you're taking, that employers are taking dues out, even though they negotiated with the... employer and the state and the governments to do this, that we maybe this bill should only be for state employees. So this amendment maybe makes sense if you really care about this issue. Do you agree with that?
Well, I've got I think a summary of the amendment, and when I say that I mean the amendment, not the amendment to the amendment. But if you could please, because I had to step out momentarily. Refresh my recollection, and then there were some other folks talking at one point.
Yeah.
Refresh my recollection concerning the underlying amendment.
The underlying amendment says that, well, the purpose of the bill is to pick on public employees, teachers, and for some reason we don't want to pick on first responders, but teachers and any type of government worker, those that take care of you know, health workers, anyone who is in an organized labor union that's a public employee, the purpose of the bill is to pick on them. The purpose of the amendment, underlying amendment, is to say that we should not be telling the municipalities and the school districts how they handle their employees. It simply says this should only affect state workers.
State employees, got it. So it would be narrowing the scope of the bill from all public employees at all, so at all levels of subdivisions within the state, to simply state employees as opposed to county and municipal.
That's right.
And does it specifically, forgive me, does the amendment specifically reference county as well as municipal and school board?
I think what the amendment does is that it just basically, let me see if I actually have the written amendment.
And it might be on my desk, but I just don't see it. And unfortunately, we're getting to that part in session.
Yeah, I don't have that amendment either, But I know the underlying amendment is just take them out.
Sure. And so the here we go. All right. So we've got all right. So what we're doing here is page 1, line 5. We are striking the word public and inserting state.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we do that. It looks like we just do that throughout the bill. So instead of public, we state. So presumably by striking public throughout, it would be ruling out anybody that's not actually a state employee.
Right.
So that would include county, school board, other political subdivisions.
Yeah, so the school board can just, they can allow the benefit for their employees to take out their organization dues if they want to.
Got it. And so then the amendment.
I think right now, and you can tell me this is right, Senator, they don't really have to right now. Is that true?
Say that again.
Well, I know you served on the school board for a long time.
Yes.
You don't have to do this for your employees. It's part of your negotiation with whatever organization is that right?
You know, I believe that's correct. That said, that's not a point that ever actually came up in either meet and confer before we had collective bargaining or in collective bargaining after the independence decision.
Yes.
Your school district, or one of your school districts anyway.
Right.
So I don't recall ever having discussed or negotiated over that. That said, I was actually on the board administrative team only once in my 9 years on the school board, although it was a what they call a money year. The voters had approved a levy in 2004, and so I was on the, and it was in the November 2004 election, And so I was on the board administrator team in 2005, discussing what ultimately was a two-year salary contract, sort of in connection with the, with the levy change. The levy change had been for, among other things, pay and benefits for our teachers and other district employees. We also did a lot of important capital improvement work with that levy change. We were able to air condition our K through 3 building, and as well as our 3 through 5 building. We had the third grader split between two buildings at the time, and so I will say, my son, who turned 5 in January, has been enrolled in kindergarten at Manier starting this fall, and when he walks into school on the first day of school, presumably in August, the temperature in that building will be in the low 70s instead of the mid 90s, and I can honestly say that I had something to do with that.
Yeah,
I'm very
so
proud of that.
He'll be a kindergartner.
He'll be a kindergartner.
Oh, that's
yes.
Great.
We've already got him. He's working on addition and subtraction. He can do kind of the fingers things. We haven't quite worked up to fingers and toes yet, but so like any integers, he's good with. You get it at double digits, and it gets a little shaky. But
I understand that, Senator.
He's working it. We're working hard with him. So we just got a bunch of so my daughter turned 2 last Tuesday, and my father sent along a bunch of stuff for her, sort of color shape flashcard things for her, but also sent some flashcards for my son working on sight words, like the mom, dad, cat, dog, that sort of stuff. We're getting there. It's still early. He's a little resistant. But
the kids are.
I'm just determined to have him. It might be too ambitious to have him reading by the time he starts kindergarten. But I'm going to be adamant about getting them there as soon as possible. You know how my father taught me.
How?
So, and this is great. I don't know that I'll pull this trick or not. But my father taught me how to read. He got me a subscription to a comic book for like a year.
Okay,
Captain
Superman,
America.
I hope, right?
What's that?
Superman, I hope.
Captain America, which, okay. Nice and patriotic. So my father gets me a Captain America subscription when I'm like 5 or 6. And so for like the first 12, it's monthly. So maybe like the first 3 or 4 that come in the mail. It was a mail subscription at the time,
yeah.
If you can believe that. The first 3 or 4 come in, he sits down with me on the couch and reads to me everything that's happening in Captain America and all that. And then the 5th edition comes in the mail, and he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, if you want to know what that says, you have to read it.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and there it was. My father cajoled me.
You had to figure out how Captain America stopped the Red Skull, and you figured that out. That was good motivation for you.
That's right. I don't know that I'll pull the same trick on my son, although he's gotten into Legos a bit lately, and he can kind of see he's only 5, and some of the sets he's for like ages 5 to 12. Some are like maybe 6 to 12, but we're doing our best. And he can see the diagram, and I can kind of tell him which piece he wants. He can pick out the piece, and he can sometimes assemble them. He can't quite get them square, but what he can't do yet is take the instructions and actually like be assembling constantly. And so I'm hoping to get him there, and I may do the same thing with him at some point and just say, if you want to keep building, son, you're going to have to,
I'd say this, Senator. Whatever you do, cherish the times that you're like this, because when they start getting in high school and they come say, Dad, can you help me with this? And I've had to say, I can't figure this out.
Right.
This is too beyond me. So cherish those times when you're able to actually help.
Help, right.
Yeah. I either say, go talk to your mother or talk to
With kids and computing technologies these days, then there's going to be the time when, of course, we need them to help us, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, son, help me figure this out. Daughter, help me figure this out.
That's right.
Now, you've got 2 in college, is that right?
I have one that goes to the University of Missouri. He's a journalism major because I think journalists are great, and that's what she's studying.
I strongly agree.
And then one that's a junior. Talking kids, and we're obviously talking about the importance of education and public employees in that, but I could even send you an article. If you come in my office, you'll see it. There's an article about my daughter in the Independence Examiner, And it talks about how she's going to be the president of her student body at Truman High School. And my goddaughter, who's my niece, is going to be the vice president. What's exciting about that is that I was student body president of Truman High School. And we live in the same neighborhood. And, you know, the point of the article was this, did this kid do this because her dad's a senator? And she made it very clear. She has nothing, she wants nothing to do with me, but she likes the idea of serving people and the fun of that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, how we teach these kids early with Captain America comic book or the things that you're doing with your son Senator are really valuable in the future, and making sure that we have the right people to teach them along the way, you know, kind of actually going back to our point here, as you served on that school board, you cared enough about the idea that you're going to get that levy, you're going to have that more pay increase, and you're going to negotiate what that agreement with those employees were. And I bet, Senator, tell me if I'm wrong, when you did that, you probably didn't have a conversation too much about getting union dues because as a board member, you knew that was a good thing for you. Not necessarily even for the employee, but for you and the kids in the school district.
That's right. Well, you know, of course, Afton, like many other districts, actually has teachers that belong to multiple unions. And so sometimes there's some discussion about how you handle collective bargaining
right.
in that situation. I know there's been legislation filed on that. But, you know, and I'll say, too, that there are some that don't belong. And, you know, I've got to say, and I, you know, as a school board member, one of your responsibilities is personnel. And, you know, sometimes you have to make some very tough calls, and it's unfortunate. And I got to tell you, sometimes you see situations where administrators are very correctly trying to make sure that you maintain a certain level of quality in what's happening in the classroom, and sometimes there are disputes about that. On the other hand, I've also seen situations where, you know, maybe an administrator is being, shall we say, a touch aggressive, and sometimes it can be, I mean, look, I mean, every workplace is like this. You've got personalities sometimes that, you know, sometimes people can put personalities aside and focus on performance, and sometimes they can't. And as a board member, you got to make the call on, you know, is this a situation where, you know, we need to do better in this classroom, or is this a situation where somebody who's doing well in the classroom just doesn't get along with the principal is getting singled out? And all I will say is that, you know, the representation that the members who belong and pay their dues have was excellent. And you know, one of the issues that's coming up on the initiative petition right now is teacher tenure. I think that
right.
you know, might be headed toward the ballot. And, you know, all I will say is that in my experience as a board member, when we had a situation in a classroom that needed to be rectified, we usually had the cooperation of the collective bargaining entity
right.
in resolving that situation and not the kind of obstinance that people sometimes make it sound like. And I'm sure that's not, I mean, look, everything's a generalization, but when...
I think that's but the most, I mean, you talk about cooperation between administrators, board members, and employees.
And their bargaining units, yes.
And their
representatives.
I mean, that is, and you referenced the independence case, but regardless, I mean, I see great cooperation in there because the board members want to make sure that they are having the best that they can for the teachers. The teachers care about the kids, and it goes on.
Yeah.
And hamstringing that with this type of legislation doesn't help anybody. All it does is picks on those organizations and makes it harder for them. It creates paperwork and government getting in the way of them, state government getting in the way of them doing their business. But you're talking about cooperation, Senator. I think you're going to see cooperation as we've overridden Senate Bill 509. I think you're going to see cooperation from all three of those folks being very concerned about where we go with our tax policy and how we fund things in the future. And
absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see how they cooperate, even though this bill, its premise is that they shouldn't have to cooperate with their collective unit and their employee. So I think it's a good amendment.
I agree.
And I guess I would say this. I would say that if we can get this amendment on, maybe it makes sense that we actually would support it and say it's time for, since we're the Missouri Senate, the Missouri legislature can decide how Missouri employees are treated. And that may make sense, and we can sit down and move on. But I think having a bill that is going to be so destructive to local districts and local counties, and you know, we have in our county government, we have carpenters and firefighters that are prosecutors. You know, they're part of the firefighter union. I don't know if they're part of the first responder exemption. We have SEIU members. We have all kinds of different people within our county government, and it's just going to be a complete, really a mess to try to figure out how they're going to handle those employees. So if we can get this amendment on and say that it's only going to apply to the state employees, maybe that's a fair compromise, Senator. Maybe that's something that would make sense, and we can move on and be done with this issue.
Well, I you know, let me suggest this. On this issue, I'll say it this way. I don't think that's the only change I would need to see in this bill to get to a point where we're not talking as much about Legos and comic books and
yeah,
moving on, and not to, you know, not to besmirch my or belittle my parenting, but
right,
this is about, at the end of the day, this is about educating kids.
Right, it really is.
And providing for the important services and system support that our many state and public employees throughout the state provide. And you know, it's not just teachers, it's not just first responders. I think last year you had the amendment for road crews, snow removal crews. You know, there are so many people that spend their professional lives providing for the common good, and they're compensated for it, but I think it is only reasonable that they have the right and option to bargain collectively and effectively if they so choose, and I cannot support legislation which I believe will undermine that, and I don't think you would either.
Well, I think you're right. I guess I'm just trying to point out that our responsibility is a state government, and if we want to deal with our employees, maybe that should be a discussion. That's why this amendment to me is so important, because
I agree,
we're just tying the hands of hundreds of school districts and counties and cities, sewer boards, or really, I don't know, anything that has an employee that may be part of a union. It just ties their hands, and it makes it difficult for them to do their business. And this bill is, like I mentioned, is just to pick on those organizations. But in truth, it just makes it harder for those municipalities throughout the state to do their job. And it's short-sighted that this bill would even come up and be kind of a vindictive thing towards those groups. But now, it looks like we're just going to nonstop talk about this issue every year until those retributions are on those organizations, and it's a big shame. So I guess I'm just trying to come up with an idea that how do we rectify this for the people of Missouri, and maybe this amendment does that.
Yeah, I share your concern. You know, it seems to me it's one thing, and we've got we've got thousands and thousands of state employees, but we're not just here talking about a decision that would be made effectively for them. We're talking about something that's going to implicate folks at all levels of government, and that's that many more employees, public servants. And, that said, I'm not sure I'm aware if there's a mechanism to essentially make this decision at that level, although I suppose a lot of that could be handled through the collective bargaining process at the local level. And what I would say in that regard, I mean, what's wrong with the freedom of contract, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's what collective bargaining is. It's two parties on either side of an issue or a series of issues through freedom of contract, willfully and usually very well advised by counsel, entering into an agreement as to how they're going to do things.
Right. And that happens through a free market of people being able to...
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. Mr. President, on my right and your left is Pastor Chad Herring. About a year ago, I was put on the pastor nominating committee for John Knox Presbyterian Kirk, where I attend. And the very first resume that was handed to me was Chad Herring's. And I turned to the six of us and I said, okay, we're done here. And they laughed. And then 30 interviews later, 6 months later, we ended up hiring Chad Herring. So he's very important to me in my personal life with my family. And every Sunday, I look to his wisdom and guidance to help be a better person. And I just would ask this body to make him feel very welcome while
he is here. Would the Missouri Senate make Pastor Herring feel welcome in the Senate chambers today? Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, would you lay Senate Bill 1612 on the 1617 on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar with the amendments pending. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to business of message House of Representatives. Ask Secretary, please read the message.
Messages from the House. The Secretary has indicated there are such messages. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House of Representatives has passed Senate Substitute Number 3 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Numbers 509 and 496, the objections of the Governor thereto notwithstanding. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the attached is a certified copy of the roll call on Senate Substitute Number 3 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Numbers 509 and 496. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House conferees on Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011 be allowed to exceed the differences on Section 11.440. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 2077, entitled An Act Relating to the Surplus Revenue Fund. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 2063, entitled An Act Relating to Port Authorities. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1439 as amended, and requests the Senate to recede from its position, and failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 4, and House Amendment 5 to Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 612, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 716 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 672 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bills 493, 485, 495, 516, 534, 545, 595, 616, and 624 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire the Secretary if there are any conferees to be read? And if so, please, as Secretary, please read the message.
Madam Secretary, read the conferees.
Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Numbers 493, 485, 495, 516, 534, 545, 595, 616, and 624 as amended. Senators Pierce, Schmidt, Emery, Chappelle Nadal, Curls. Also, Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Numbers 612 with House Amendments 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Senators Schaaf, Kraus, Lamping, Sifton, Lavoda. Also, Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 716 as amended. Senators Brown, Schmidt, Sater, Sifton, Walsh. Also, Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 672 as amended. Senators Parson, Dixon, Romine, Justice, Kevney.
Senator from Newton.
The Senate will go to her business of House bills on second reading.
House bills on second reading.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2021.
House Committee Substitute.
Recognize me first.
Oh, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2021.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2021. An act to appropriate money for purposes for the several departments and offices of state government.
Appropriations.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I object to Senator Gordon Business for announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Christian.
I have an announcement. The Financial Government and Organizations and Elections Committee will have a short meeting in the back of the Persian Gallery is upon adjournment. Or not adjournment, but recess.
Further announcements. Senator from Andrew is noted that he's chewing. There's no eating in the chamber. Senator from Andrew?
President, I wasn't eating, and I'm insulted by the implication that you think I would. But I do have an announcement.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to announce that the Senate Commerce Committee has been moved from the lounge to SCR2 promptly at 1:30. And I know all the hardworking members will be there, as will be the president. Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. The General Laws Committee will meet at 1:30 in SCR1.
Further announcements? Seeing none. Senator from Newton.
President, no further business come to the body, and I move the Senate stand in recess till 2:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. As many are in opinion, that motion shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand in recess.